Now, we're back.
Welcome to the
Hardell Morning Show.
Now,
Mark Reilly. Mark Reilly.
We're back. 26 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. 39 degrees outdoors. Maybe a little bit more rain in the forecast. Going to be partly cloudy. The high's only going up to 41 degrees. You know, I saw this story this morning. Kind of made my blood boil just a little bit. There are numbers, hundreds in fact, of nursing home patients who were evacuated from facilities that were in the path of Hurricane Sandy, who are now shoehorned, as it's described in one article, in other facilities. They don't have regular beds. They're sleeping on cots. These are elderly now, sleeping on cots, and don't even have, in many cases, a regular change of clothes. Joining us to discuss that issue, staff attorney on the Disability and Aging Rights Project at MFY Legal Services. Good morning, Shelley Wiseman. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated. Now, I guess most folks know how these folks wound up in this predicament in terms of having to be evacuated from facilities that were in the path of Hurricane Sandy. But what is the current status of many of these people?
Well, now we have a situation where people were evacuated. Some have gone home. The facilities have been back in a condition where people can live there, but there are still a large number of people with disabilities and people who are elderly who are displaced and are living in very difficult circumstances.
Now, these folks were, I guess, evacuated by the nursing homes or by the city or by whom?
Well, from what we understand, the city and state determined that residents of adult homes and nursing homes should not be evacuated during Superstorm Sandy, even though the city issued a mandatory evacuation order for all the other people in Zone A. They were evacuated after the storm.
And where did they wind up, most of them?
It depended on the situation. Although some of the adult homes and nursing homes did have probably very good evacuation plans, a lot of those plans were not put into effect because of the circumstances of the evacuation after the storm. So people ended up where they could, in shelters, in other homes, in nursing homes, and in hospitals.
And what are the general conditions that folk are living under? Again, what, almost 3 months after the storm?
The Bell Harbor Manor residents, which are discussed in that article you mentioned, for example, they're living on the grounds of a psychiatric hospital in the middle of Queens. The situation is very difficult. They have no privacy, no beds, no way to store their belongings. Some have no ID. And they're actually still paying rent to the operator of Bell Harbor Manor, even though they're not even living there. So they have little money. It's a very tough situation for these folks.
Now, is there any word on when Bell Harbor Manor is going to be properly habitable again?
Not that we know of. Not that we know of.
So these folks could be in limbo, like, indefinitely then?
They could be in limbo for quite a long time. And it's interesting because a lot of these folks don't even want to be living at Bell Harbor, for example, or in an adult home at all. Adult homes are large, segregated institutions where a large number of people with mental illness live together, segregated away from the community. They've been termed warehouses for people with mental illness. They're actually really inappropriate and outdated types of housing for people with mental illness. So it's interesting that the state is not working harder, working faster to actually provide these people with an opportunity to move to more independent settings, since they're already displaced from this type of setting.
So this displacement then, in your judgment, should lead to a change in condition in the overall sense for some of these people?
Absolutely. This could be a really great opportunity to help move people to more independent housing, to supported housing. Instead, they're stuck in more restrictive settings, like Milestone, which is on the grounds of a psych hospital.
Any chance of that change for the better actually happening? What government agency is going to have to act affirmatively to make that possible?
It's going to have to be the governor's office and the state health department and the Office of Mental Health all working together.
Can people lobby the governor? I mean, he gets lobbied every day, but I mean, are there ways to reach out to these organizations to advocate for this change that you're talking about on the part of the public now?
Absolutely. People can call their elected officials, their local and state level elected officials, and also the governor's office, and let them know that now is the time to reform this system. People are displaced anyway. It's being paid for anyway. And it's the time for reform is now.
All right. Shelley Wiseman, thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
You take care. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Shelley Wiseman, staff attorney on the Disability and Aging Rights Project at MFY Legal Services, which, by the way, is an independent, not-for-profit law firm, which is founded on the principle of equal access to justice through community-based legal representation of poor New Yorkers. They do some great work, MFY, by the way, I have to say.